We are in kind of a mini study in the study of the Ten Commandments. Like, I've never looked at the Ten Commandments like this before. I kind of known them for a lot of years, but never known them. And I hope and pray that they're affecting your life. And to know that God gave these Ten Commandments because He loves you. And when we share these commandments and share the meanings of what we believe that God meant by giving these commandments, it's because we love you. The Bible says you know the truth. The truth will set you free. And so I just pray that as we examine God's truth today, that know that you are loved by God. And that's why He gave you these incredible, incredible commandments. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity again to share something that is like, 4,000 years old, and yet we're talking about it today as if you did it yesterday, as you did it this morning in our hearts. And I pray, God, that you will literally chisel the commandment in each one of the hearts that of people that are here today that may be hearing this message. Let the word of God just burn in us, God. Help us, as David said, the word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. Let the word of God be true. You said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And so, God, have your way in our hearts as we open the scriptures. Help us, I pray, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've covered a lot of territory so far. In the beginning, we were talking about a relationship that God confirms with us through His commandments. He didn't give us the law to create a path to Him. He gave the law to a group of people that were already in with Him. Remember, they were delivered from Egypt in bondage for 400 years. And we've talked about that in depth in the last couple of weeks. And He redeemed those people, and then 3 months later, there He was on Mount Sinai giving the commandments, the rules, the laws to govern His people. And when you find out what those laws and rules were, when you discover it, you realize that there's nothing in there about going to heaven. The whole book of Exodus, where we find the Ten Commandments, heaven is not even mentioned. It's not mentioned. Because the Ten Commandments isn't about going to heaven. The Ten Commandments, and in your notes, I put some blanks there for you to write this week, if you'd like to write. But the Ten Commandments were not given as a condition of relationship. The Ten Commandments were given as a confirmation of a relationship. Okay? The Ten Commandments were not given as a condition of a relationship. They were given as a confirmation of a relationship. I give rules to my kids. You give rules to your kids. God gives rules to His kids. Okay? God gives His law to people who are already in with Him. Not as a means of getting in with Him. And then He said this. He said, where you can tell a lot about a person by the rules they give. And we've discovered some incredible things about God by looking at these laws. And one of the first things that we discovered was more important to God, more important to Him than obedience is recognition. I am the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me. I want you to recognize that. I am the Lord your God. He wants to be recognized as the one and only God, because what He knows and what we discover and common sense tells us when we sit down and think about it, if you decide up front that there's only one God and He's God, you know what? That pretty much clarifies and takes care of all the rest of the commandments. If we can just grab a hold of those first two we said last week. I'm the Lord your God. The Lord your God. We're already in a relationship. Not the Lord, the God. I'm the Lord, your God. We have a relationship. Don't have any other gods before me. And don't you dare make any image of anything in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. Don't make any image. Don't try to Compartmentalize me. And that's what we talked about that last week. So if we get the first two, it pretty much takes care of the rest of the commandments. Because you get up every morning and you just say, not my will, God, but yours be done. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, my answer is yes. Whatever it is. I mean, you're God. You're the only one. And so from the very beginning, God says, before I give you the thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal, before any of that, I want you to recognize that I am the one and only God. And I don't want you to make any images to represent me because I'm bigger than anything you will ever create. Don't shrink me down. Don't dumb me down. Don't try to make me a manageable God because I'm not manageable. I am God, he says. And I'm giving you my law because I love you. And not to get you to love me. I'm giving you my law because I have a relationship with you, not to have a relationship with you. I've given you my commandments as confirmation of how much I love you. That's why I gave you my commandments. The commandments were never given as a means of salvation or as a means of getting in good with God. Okay? We all settled with that? We got that down? All right. Today we're going to come to the third commandment. And I think if you were, you know, somebody stuck a microphone in front of your face and you were forced to say, well, there's 10 of them, you know, give me a couple, you might come up with this one. You might, you know. You might remember it. It's an incredibly misunderstood commandment. So we're in the book of Exodus. If you'd like to turn with you in your Bible, Exodus chapter 20. And we know that here's the one that when I was taught as a kid, it had a very, very specific application, probably just like many of you. But unfortunately, it might not have been the correct application of this incredible commandment. So here it is. You ready? Exodus 20, verse 7. First part of the verse says this. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Okay? Now, I learned it, and maybe a lot of you learned it in the King James Version. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. See, you remembered. Oh, yes. In vain. Now, some of you can remember this, so, and it's an application that says, you know, don't use the name of the Lord God in vain when you lose your temper. Don't yell out God's name, and don't yell out his son's name either. Okay, and don't act out God's name to curse anything or to damn anything. That was kind of the application of the third commandment, right? And we moved on. Okay, what's next? All right, and that's kind of silly when you think about it. Because God's given us 10. And out of the 10, he comes up with number 3. And he says, okay, thou shalt not lose thy temper. Call out my name. That's all? Is that really what that means? Is that all that what that means? Don't use my name. Don't use the name of the Lord in vain. I mean, here's 10. And here's the third one. There's 10, only 10. And I'm going to put this number 3. When you hit your thumb with a hammer, you know, or when your kids bring home a bad report card, or when your son says, I closed the garage door on the hood of your car, he said, whatever it is, when thou lose thou temper, don't call out my name. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. When I was a kid, but that was the whole application. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's all you thought it was. Don't yell out God's name. And to be honest, I'll tell you, it's still a bad thing. It's a bad thing to yell out God's name. Like Jesus' name, when you lose your temper, it's not a good thing. But not because of this commandment. It's just disrespectful as a Christian to yell out God's name or to use Jesus' name in a derogatory way. And I do. I said it last week. I cringe when I hear people especially use the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he died for my sins. And he died for your sins. So when you get mad, don't yell out his name. That's kind of weird. But this is not what it's talking about. I don't think we should use God in any derogatory way because it's not good. But this commandment means a whole lot more than that. It means a whole lot more. And here's what's interesting. Jewish leaders, hundreds and hundreds of years after this commandment was given, they kind of went down the same road when they didn't want to use the Lord's name in vain. Okay? And I know that, and I heard Andy Stanley say this one time, that in his family, he couldn't even say G or gosh, because G was too much like Jesus and gosh was too much like God, and they couldn't say it in their family. Because here the thing was, don't even get close. Don't even get close to using the name of God in a derogatory way. Okay? But now these Jewish leaders, they kind of went down the same road when they tried to apply this. Don't use the name of the Lord your God in vain. And here's how they applied it. When they copied the old ancient text of the Old Testament, and there was an art and a science to copying down these manuscripts. It wasn't just like, you know, you copy your friend's homework, you know, you copy it, get it done, and turn it in, that's it. It wasn't like that at all. These were meticulous things that many cultures and societies, they had men, and their job was to copy these texts. And they would make multiple copies of the text so they wouldn't lose them. And when they got to the name of God, in many of these communities, they had different traditions and different ceremonies. Many of them, when they got to the name of God, they would use a different pen, different ink. You know, in the beginning, wait a minute, go to get this other pen, this ink, God. You know, go put it down. Created the heavens and the earth and so forth. And every time they got to God, they would go to a different ink, different pen. Some of them would have a ceremonial washing before they ever had used the name of God, right? They were so committed to protecting the name of God from this commandment that they used different ink, different pens, sometimes washing, whatever it was, to protect the name. They didn't even want to say the name God, okay? Because the name of God was so precious, okay? And in other communities, by the time Jesus came along, there were names of God that you were not even allowed to pronounce out loud. They had names for the names of God. There was some names they decided because this name was so holy. And so if you don't want to misuse the name of the Lord, you just wouldn't say it. So you don't even say it. Because if you say it, then you have a chance of misusing it, okay? So they had a law from keeping them from breaking the law. And sometimes parents do that, you know. Nope, let's not say gosh, okay? Let's say, oh my gosh, because, you know, you might slip. Now, that's just something that is there. Now, I don't think it's bad to have rules to protect people from rules. I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily, but what happens over time was that they became so possessed and obsessed with the physical, literal name of God that they came up with all these rules from keeping people from accidentally misusing the name of God, that by the time Jesus came along, they lost sight of what this commandment really meant in the first place. Okay? So that's why we read it. When I read it to you, I read it in the NIV, the New International Version of the Bible, which we're going to use today. And it really gets down to the heart of this commandment, what it's all about. It doesn't say, it doesn't say, don't use the name of the Lord thy God in vain, because it really doesn't make a lot of sense in our English anymore. Don't use it in vain. The NIV really gets to the heart of the reality of this scripture, and I'll read it again. Look at it again. It says, you shall not, and the word is, misuse the name of the Lord your God. And here's what it means, and I think I put it in your notes. Don't associate God's name with something that God is not associated with. Okay, that's a simple definition. Don't associate God's name with something that God is not associated with. It also means don't leverage the name of God in order to accomplish something that God has nothing to do with. Don't use God to accomplish your means. Don't use God's name to get your way. Don't some way leverage and use God's name in order to do something that God has nothing to do with. That is misusing the name of God, okay? It's just like you know, if someone says, well, they take my name. Well, Pastor Sam said that I can go and buy this car and whatever, and they say, you know, whatever, and I never said anything like that. And they use my name. And sometimes people put my name on signs, you know, on notices, you know. Don't do this, you know, Pastor Sam. I never said it. You know, whatever. And that is misusing your name. Okay? Using your name in vain is misusing your name. Don't properly leverage or misuse the name of God in order to do things that God has nothing to do with. And here's what's interesting. When Jesus showed up, here it was, the religious leaders were doing this all the time. They were doing it all the time. In fact, I think this is the reason why God gave this nation this commandment so early on in the list of commandments, because he knew he was about ready to give a lot of practical stuff. In fact, if you read, after the Ten Commandments, Moses sat down and he literally gave hundreds and hundreds of commandments that are based on the Ten Commandments that told the people what to do, how to live their life, how to deal with marriage, how to deal with interest and money, and lots of commandments that all were around the Ten Commandments. And God knew their hearts, and he knows our hearts. And if I don't get them to make a commitment to not misuse my name, as soon as I begin laying out all these other commandments about how to live their life and how to function in society, they're going to begin to look for loopholes. They're going to look for loopholes because they are a religious community. They're going to use my name for their loopholes in my law. They're going to play me against me. God knew that. They're going to come up with religious rules that allow them to get around my laws. They're going to do it in my name. And you know what? The truth is, human beings have been doing that since the beginning of time. All kinds of things have been done in the name of God. Do you know that? All kinds of things have been done in the name of God with nothing to do with the name of God at all. Okay? We were talking about this on Wednesday, just real briefly. Jesus was walking into the temple one day, and he was the maddest he ever was. He was furious. This was the maddest he ever got in the New Testament. He walked in there and he was in the outer court, the Bible says, and right in the temple, and they were selling stuff for huge profits. And they were changing money for huge profits, selling animals that weren't even supposed to be used for the sacrifice to poor people so that the poor people could sacrifice to God. Because God said that in order to get your sins atoned for, you got to sacrifice an animal. And so these religious leaders allowed these other people to come into the temple and abused that system so to enrich themselves so that people could obey God. And when Jesus walked in the temple, he was furious. You know, you think of Jesus, you know, with the halo and all that, you know, meek, mild, mannered. Read it, what he did in the temple, okay? He saw the religious leaders leveraging the name of God, leveraging the law. You got to have these animals. You got to have a sacrifice to get right with God. And they were leveraging God's law for their own end. They were using the name of God and God's system for their own end. They were misusing the law. They were misusing the name of God. Okay? Listen to what he said. This is what he said in Luke chapter 19, two verses, 45 and 46. Look what he said. Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those that were selling. It is written, he said. He said to them, listen to what he said to them. It is written. Anytime you see it is written, this is what God says. It's written. This is what God says. It is written, my house will be a house of prayer. But you religious leaders, that's what we're talking. You religious leaders, you have made it a den of robbers. You got it? You've made it. In other words, the eighth commandment says, thou shalt not steal. And you have bypassed the eighth commandment. You have bypassed my desire, the desire of my Father, to have this temple, which is supposed to be a holy place. It's supposed to be a spiritual place, a place set aside for people to come and worship me. You've made it a den of robbers. You violated the clear teaching of my Father by coming up with a system that allows you to steal from the people, and you're doing it in my name? So when the people show up in the temple, they assume that this is all legitimate, you know, this is a legitimate business because, you know, it's because the religious leaders had put this all in place, right? He was furious. You misused the law. You misused my Father's name. You're leveraging the temple of all places to get rich. He was mad. they violated the third command. Okay? Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but they ran into another thing in the fifth commandment. We're going to get to these. But the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. How many remember that commandment? That's another one you remember, right? Okay. And there's no qualifications as to how long, you know, as long as you're alive and they're alive in that community, you were to honor your father and your mother. But the religious leaders came up with a way around that one too. Would you believe that? They did. Here's the deal. You could come to them and you could dedicate all your worldly goods, all your worldly possessions to God. You didn't have to give them, you just had to dedicate them. You could say, oh God, everything I have is yours. Everything that you give me belongs to you. And anything you need for your service, I'm holding it for you. And when you want it, you just let me know. The Pharisees came up with this. And then these people's parents would be in need. They're getting old. They're unable to work. Their parents would be in need. And their kids would say, Mom, Dad, you know, I love you, but I dedicated all my wealth to God. It belongs to him. I'm afraid I can't help you, Mom and Dad. And this was actually a plan, that something that the Pharisees came up with. There was a tradition. They came up with a law that doesn't it sound spiritual? I mean, it sounds so spiritual. Hey, Mom and Dad, I know you're destitute, you know, but everything I have belongs to God. I'm storing it up for God. I'm sorry. Jesus was furious again. Listen to what he said. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, I'm just going to read one verse, verse 13, because you read above it, it's the story, it's about this. He says, thus you nullify the word of God by what you did, by what you're talking about honoring your mom and dad. You nullify the word of God. That is, you superseded and denied what God said by your what? Tradition that you have handed down. You do many things like that, he said. You do many things. You nullify the word of God by your tradition that God has clearly spoken already. Honor your father and your mother. And you religious leaders have come up with a religious practice that allows you to bypass the clear teaching of God. You nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. So you come up with a whole system of ways to bypass the clear teachings of God. And you're doing this all in the name of God. That's what it means to misuse the name of God. To use the name of God in vain, if you want. It's to play God against himself so you can have your way. To play God against himself so you can ultimately do what you want to do. And you know what? There's many examples of this in history. If you just read your history, back in the Middle Ages, when the Europeans, they invaded Jerusalem, and they slaughtered tens of thousands of Arabs to free the nation of Israel in the name of God. That wasn't God's will. Before Jesus left, he didn't say, go out and murder everybody. He said, go and make what? Make disciples. He said, make disciples. And somewhere along the way, a European Christian said, no, we've got to free Jerusalem. And tens of thousands of people were killed because religious leaders in the name of God, they had nothing to do with God at all, but they did it in the name of God. And so many things were done in the name of God. And again, years later, years of slavery in this country, preachers stood behind pulpits and used scripture to support slavery. They misused the name of God. Having slaves was evidence of being committed to the Bible. I don't think so. That's not what the Bible says. But they used the scriptures. They misused the name of God. They used God to have their way in spite of the clear teaching of God. That's what it means. Use the name of the Lord in vain. You know, I'd be willing to bet that there's a lot of people here that maybe have a story about maybe being hurt or mistreated by a church. Went to a church that had some rules, and whenever a church has rules, they put God's stamp of approval on them. Might not be in the Bible, but you know, we're the church, and we're the holy people, and this is how we do it. And somehow you went up against their man-made rules, and they kind of leveraged God and said, well, you know, you can't go here anymore. You shouldn't do that. You can't do that. Your kids can't, whatever, whatever. And the church is notorious for coming up with stuff. And, we, you know, after all, we're God's representatives. And they abuse and misuse the name of God. But how many times has it been repeated in history that someone has gotten hurt because of this? Amen? Now, this is just my opinion. God giving out this commandment, he knew what he was about to say, and men's desire to find a loophole with God's law. He knew mankind's desire to play God against each other and God against God. And again, this is just my thought, but I have a strong feeling that the thrust of this command could be like this. Thou shalt not establish religion. Thou shalt not establish religion. I love that song we sing. There's a place where what? Where religion finally dies. What do you think that means? We sing it all the time. Do you ever think about what that means? There's a place where religion finally dies. There's a place where I lose my selfish pride. Dancing with my Father God in fields of what? Grace. Isn't that beautiful? Why do you think we sing songs like that? Because it sets us free. Amen? Thou shalt not set up a bunch of rules in my name that doesn't have anything to do with me. Why? Because it's dangerous. That's why. Thou shalt not leverage thy will on other people in my name. Don't you attach my name to something I don't have anything to do with. Don't abuse my name. Don't establish religious systems. But isn't that what every religious system ultimately seems to do? They do. They come up with, you know, here's what the Bible says, and here's what we say. And by the time we all get these customs and traditions, oftentimes the traditions actually violate the clear teaching of God's word. That's why some people have left some churches. Because they say, I don't see love there. I don't see love there. Whatever happened to love your neighbor? Isn't that sort of the basic thing? You have all this structure, you have all this rules, but there's no sense of love there. And it's easy. It's easy to get in a habit of personally and corporately of dodging the love of God and dodging the will of God and dodging the law of God. In the name of God, it's unbelievably easy to do that. Amen? And Jesus says it right up front. Don't you even think about coming up with something on your own and attaching my name to it. Then he gets really personal in Scripture. Let me give you an illustration. I know you know this verse. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Is that what it says? That's what it says. So this means if I actually do this sin that I actually have no business doing, I can run back over here and confess it. I got a loophole. I can play God against God, and I can have my sin and my forgiveness too. This is great. No. No, it's not. This is what the third commandment's all about. And you're invoking and using and leveraging my name for your purposes. I've already spoken to that issue. I don't know about you, but I know many of you grew up as Catholic as I did, and you know the whole deal. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Saturday night, sin. Sunday, I got to go to confession. Right? Come on. I have any witnesses in here? Yeah, I know. Me too. But that's not the reason what confession was. in the Catholic Church. Maybe through your experience that's what it was. Why? Because you had a loophole. Disobey God and then get back in good with God, and we had a system going on. Right? As long as I saw that light on the box, I can go into that box and get my sins forgiven. What a great life. That's what this verse is addressing. That's what this commandment is addressing. Don't misuse, don't abuse. Don't try to leverage my law, my word, my will, my morality. Don't leverage it for something that other than what I'm committed to. He said, the reason I offer forgiveness is for people who are turning away from sin. I didn't offer forgiveness for people to leverage for forgiveness to stay in sin. I don't want you to stay in sin and then come to me and ask for forgiveness. I want you to turn away from your sin. There's a difference there, isn't it? Big difference. That's being honest. Being honest. That's facing up to what God wants for you instead of sitting around, you know, with our greedy little finite minds trying to figure out how to use God against God and have your way. And that is what the third commandment is all about. Don't misuse, don't abuse my name. Don't use my name for anything other than what I'm committed to. And you know what? It's in you and it's in me to do that. We have seen, and we've seen what religion, how it hurts so many people. We ought to know in our hearts where it leads. Do you know what he did? He inscribed a warning attached to this. Look at the rest of the verse. I didn't read it. A reason. Look at the warning he attaches to this verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. In the New Living Translation, it says this: the Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. So here's the deal. I'm not going to stand around and put up with anybody misusing and abusing. Before you get all bent out of shape and, you know, about God being a God of love, listen, it is because he is a God of love that he's making this warning. It is because he loves you that he's making this warning. Come on, we've all seen what happens to people when other people misuse and abuse the name of God. We've all seen it. Because God loved his nation, because God loves you, because God had a plan for this nation, because God has a plan for you, it's for your benefit. Do not misuse and abuse my name, because ultimately you lose, my kingdom loses, and my purposes and my plans for you get lost in the shuffle. Okay? What do you think it means? What do you think it means? I will not hold anyone guiltless that misuses my name. What do you think that means? I don't know. Okay? I don't know. Maybe it just want to hold you guiltless. I don't know what that means. But what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. But I don't know exactly what that means. But here's what's going to happen, because you know why I know? Because it happened to the Pharisees. And this is huge. You need to listen to this. I think it's in your notes. If you stay in the habit or get in the habit of dodging the law of God in the name of God, you will ultimately miss God. That's huge. If you stay in the habit or get in the habit of dodging the law of God in the name of God, ultimately you will miss God. All right, say it again. If you somehow fall into the habit of a deal that I just talked about, you know, I can do this and I can do that and I have this system going on and I got a loophole because God, if I do this, you know, God won't do this to me and all this other stuff. I try to dodge the obvious, what's the obvious will of God? The obvious will of God is to get out of sin. Get out of sin. Break the habit. Stay away from that. If I dodge the law of God, the will of God, the love of God in the name of God, I will ultimately miss God. And here's why I think that. Why I think this about this. Because the experts that are violating this principle, who are they? The religious leaders. They were the religious leaders, and their whole mission on earth was to identify with the people who the Messiah was.
That's all they, that's what they were supposed to do. They were, you know, here's the Messiah, everybody. There he is. Let's all rally around him. He's the one we're supposed to follow. That was the Pharisees' job. That's what they were supposed to do. That's why Jesus, when he would heal someone, what would he say? Go show yourself to the priests. Go show yourself to the religious leaders. Why? Because they are the ones that have to determine if I'm the Messiah. So here are all the people that have been trained to identify the Messiah, and they crucify him. Why? Because they made a profession of dodging the will of God in the name of God, and they missed him entirely. They missed him. That's why. If you're not a Christian or you're kind of out there doing your own thing, I know what's going on in your heart. It's not uncommon. You're not an atheist. You're not an agnostic. You believe there's a God out there somewhere. Come on. You got a system going on. Here's how God is, and this is what God wants, and if I do this, God won't, because I did, and all this, and I got this all worked out, and God's got a system here, and you're using what you think about God in order to have your way. You're not surrendered to God. You know, God, whatever you want me to do, I will. You're afraid to do that. But you're not discounting God either. You're just using God. Kind of got God helping you out and to do what you want him, what you want to do. And you got a system going on that you're using the Lord's name in vain. And you know what? You missed him. You missed him. And you kind of know that. Because you kind of know you're playing a game. And at the end of the day, your prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling. And at the end of the day, there's still a hole in your soul. At the end of the day, you're not in a relationship. It's not personal. It's just kind of like a fourth-dimensional thing, and just really not sure of how it works. And you can't really believe there's not a God. You just try to control and use God in a way you think God can be used. I'll tell you what. And just an observation. You can spend your whole life and never have a relationship with God while believing in God your entire life. Because if you try to dodge God and somehow try to invoke his name in the process, you will miss him. You hear the story over and over again. Thank God for conversion, lives that are converted. We hear the same theme. I grew up in somewhat of a Christian home or religious home, and God's out there somewhere, and I went and did my own thing. You know what it means? I did my own thing. I didn't quit believing that there was a God. I just decided that God wanted me to be happy. That's true. And I've heard that dozens of times. You know, we just want you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. And God would give me this desire if he wanted me to fulfill them. I factor God into my deal, and then I try to dodge God, what was clearly in the will of God, while at the same time invoking the name of God. And so for 10 or 15 or 20 years I did this, and suddenly I realized I have no relationship with God. I missed him. I talk about him. I even talk to him. But I wouldn't describe what's going on between me and God as intimate. You see, the purpose of this commandment is saying to the people of Israel, look, please, 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 he's saying, please don't become a religious community. Please don't go down the path of religion. Please don't mask or cover your sin with religion. Don't get a religious coating that makes you feel okay about yourself. Please don't do that. Please don't attach my name to anything other than what my name is attached to. Because at the end of the day, you won't know me. You will just be religious. You'll have some tradition, but you won't have me. And see, 2,000 years ago, the keepers of the law crucified the Messiah that they had been looking for 1,000 years. And you and I can live our whole life talking about God and missing him. So here's my question. In your own little world, in your own little way, do you try to leverage God against himself? Remember, I was the first partaker of this message. I had examined my own heart, and I wept because God convicted me. In your own little world, in your own little way, are there things that you know, it's okay, God, I got this way of factoring God in, and, you know, and I can have this here, and I can do this, and I can confess, and I can do this, you know. You're violating the third commandment. And I don't know, I don't know about how to hold you guiltless or, you know, not let you go unpunished. I don't know exactly how that works, but I do know that as long as you are dodging the will of God, dodging the name of God, dodging the morality of God, as long as you're dodging the law of God, as long as you're dodging the command of God, as long as you are dodging what God is pressing on in your heart, as long as you are doing that in the name of God, you are going to miss him. You won't know him. When you hear people around you talking about a personal relationship, all your life, you'll wonder, why don't I have that experience? It's simple. Because you've misused the name of God. And the tragedy is that you've misused the very thing that God wants for you the most. And it's not to make you a good person. That's not his goal for you. But that you would know him intimately. That's his goal. And the only way to do that is to be honest. To be honest, to be transparent. And to say, God, I want to do that sin. I'm going to do that sin, but I'm not going to pretend that you're okay with it anymore. God, I want to be in that relationship, and I'm going to be honest. And say, okay, you probably don't want me in that relationship, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to pretend somehow, some way, you want me to be happy. I'm not going to play that game anymore. I'm not going to say, I'm going to be a good person or a perfect person. I'm just not going to play that game anymore. I'm not going to invoke or use or leverage your name anymore for my will or for my way anymore. You make that decision, and I know that the God who loves you will penetrate your stubborn heart, and he'll take control of your life. He will. If you will quit masking your sin with religion, if you quit masking your bad habits with religion, you quit masking your doing your thing in your time, in your way, with religion. You quit dodging the will of God and the name of God. He'll take control of your life. So what are the games that you're playing? I had asked myself that too. Would you be willing to pray a prayer and say, you're not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to play that anymore. I'm going to quit pretending. Why? Because I don't want to miss him. I don't want to miss him. So I'm going to ask every head to be bowed right now. The praise team can come. I'm just going to ask you to pray silently. Would you do this? Would you say in your own heart, if every head could be bowed just for a moment, I know this was a hard message to hear.
I said it hit me first, and it hit me hard. Can we pray before God right now and say, God, search my heart, O God. Try me and know my thoughts. David said, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way that's everlasting. God, that's the prayer you told me to pray. That's the prayer you told me to give the church to pray. Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts. I want to stop pretending and stop running and stop using loopholes and asking forgiveness for the same thing. But to be honest before you, because I don't want to miss you. I don't want to be like the Pharisees and try to find loopholes. I don't want to misuse your name in any way. And I can guarantee you, if you're serious about your prayer, that God will take control of your life like you never could imagine. And he will bless you. Because he says, I am the God who loves you. I'm the God who laid down my life for you. And so, Father, I thank you today for allowing us to share such a simple commandment that has such an incredible meaning. And so we pray together, God, that you will receive our prayers this morning. We're thankful that you said wherever two or three are gathered together, you're here in our midst. We sense the presence of your Holy Spirit right now, speaking to hearts. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Let me be like you, God, today.